Good morning, men who trudge. Okay, thanks for the thumbs up, Jim. My name is Leslie, and I am an alcoholic. And part of being an alcoholic is my fear. I claim a sober date of July 4th, Independence Day, 1997. July 4th was not the actual day that I stopped drinking, but July 4th, well, I think maybe it could have been, because that was 97. In 2002, I found my arrest record from that July 4th. And I had been in jail for several days before I realized I was in jail. So Independence Day seemed like a good day to start back over and to get my independence from alcohol. Man, I ask that you bear with me. I'm going to do my best to follow the script as I was taught by my sponsor, by all of my surrogate sponsors, who still continue to sponsor me today, because I'm just not as good as it as a lot of you may think I am. I'm full of fear. I'm extremely selfish, and parts of my story will give you glimpses into the selfishness and the fear, which daily I choose. I get to choose to not give in to my selfish ways or my fear, along with all of the rest of the things that I have learned over the years. So if my math is correct, and I'm looking for my cheater here it is. I have to look and see how many years that sobriety is. XXVII. So 27 years. Now, in 27 years, I've been freed from my obsession to think I need a drink and the compulsion to drink once I started drinking alcohol. I do have compulsion to drink other beverages. On a hot day, you give me some cool water, I want more. Can't seem to get enough. I want more. And that compulsion will take me to a point of being bloated. But I just love that. I enjoy that cool drink of water or juice. Coffee, something that some of you might be familiar with. I enjoy my coffee. I say the word love, and then I quickly change it, because in my experience, the words love and hate are often by me misused. I grew up on in Buffalo, and I ran away from Buffalo when I was 12, I think. And part of it was because I thought I hate my father, and I hate my mother and my sisters. I didn't hate them, I learned. I disliked some of the things they would do. Some of them, in hindsight, with maturing, with accepting life, and practicing being a lot more responsible than a whining 12-year-old, I forgot why I was saying all of that. But I did not hate my father. I have a picture that I look at every day, reminding me never to forget that man. And pictures of my mother reminding me never to forget their love, their sacrifice to help shape me. This journey with Alcoholics Anonymous was really a rocky start back there somewhere in the early 70s. I quit trying to pinpoint a date because I can't do that. Or a year. I know it was in between 69 and 72. So I say the early 70s. I was at a meeting and I huffed and puffed and said, "Why won't you people ever let me speak? I am tired of always coming to your meeting, but you never ask me to say anything." And one person very lovingly said, "Leslie, we know how to drink. We come here to talk about how we don't drink. So until you learn how not to drink and talk about not drinking, please sit down and try to listen. But frankly, you don't have anything during this hour that we really want to hear about. So with that in mind, I will try to spare you from the 40 minutes of a drunkalogue, because if you are sitting in this room, you probably drink like me to some degree, so you know how painful and what foolish things we can do because of our need to drink alcohol. Part of what you'll hear is things that I wasn't smart enough to think of certain phrases. There were people smarter than me who came up with these phrases. And one of them I'll start with is my keen intellectual mind. If you ever listen to Joe and Charlie, you'll hear them referring to that keen intellectual mind. Well, because of that, I have wedding anniversaries of New Year's Eve and New Year's Day. And I also have one in June because of Alcoholics Anonymous, I was smart enough not to pick the third or give a ultimatum of that third marriage. Fear led me to saying to that first wonderful lady, "Pick any day you want next year. Any day you want next year." She chose January 1st. So I was married in Akron, Ohio in 1978 or 79, I'm not sure. Because of my alcoholism, drinking on my way home from work. That marriage did not last in two people cohabitating the same house very long. It was very short-lived. She was a very smart young lady. On Valentine's Day, she gave me a card that I grinned through my drunkenness, thinking how wonderful she was. And it said, "Grow up, go home to mommy. I don't want to see you anymore." Little did I know, in that 2 months through consummating that marriage, she was pregnant. And in November of that year, a child was born. I have not seen that child. And that's part of the pain that I lived with because of the type of alcoholic, the type of drunk that I used to be. The next one was "Here I Am With My Fear." She put her hands on her hip and she said, "If you don't marry me before the end of this year, I don't ever want to see you again." And I quickly got that alcoholic intellectual mind to thinking. And I said, "Hey, let's do New Year's Eve." So that happened. So I have wedding anniversaries on New Year's Eve and New Year's Day because of my alcoholic thinking. I'm thankful that Alcoholics Anonymous came into my life because the third time around, I said, "You can choose." And luckily for me, I have a traditional June wedding that has lasted 24 years. And it could not have lasted for 24 years because of my fear. I have been trying to divorce for at least 22 years because things don't go my way. But I don't do it because I've learned because of AA and a lot of men on this meeting this morning who have helped me understand that my selfish, self-willed desires have been the root of most of my problems. A high percentage of those problems, although I want to blame you or someone else, I've created most of them myself. Mom was wow. I can't say enough. I've encouraged those who I have met along the years since becoming a member of this fellowship to consider, because one thing I know I can't do, and that's to tell you what to do, because when y'all tried telling me what to do, I basically told you to go somewhere else. And you can imagine where I told you where to go. Don't you dare tell me what to do. I'm grown. I've waited how many years to be grown to do what I want. So shut up. Leave me alone. Here I go again, misfiring my thoughts. Oh, mom. I was given the honor of spending the last 6 months, give or take some days, of my mother's life with her in Buffalo General Hospital. The family all knew, we just didn't know when. But her journey back and forth, back and forth. I just decided I'd go to the hospital whenever they took her there and stay there. And Buffalo General was kind enough to let me stay there overnight. I would go to work in the morning, come back, and do whatever she needed or wanted until I had to go to work again. And that was her last 6 months. One day, which happened to be the day that she died, I had to go take care of me. And part of taking care of me was I couldn't drink because I was hanging out too closely to you folks in AA. And you would probably smell it because I'm not going to drink just a couple of drinks. You'll smell it coming out my pores. So I went and found other mind-altering substances to help me whatever way it was supposed to help me. And when I arrived back at the hospital, the hospital staff informed me that my mother had passed away. So, being the selfish person that I am, I beat myself up and woe is me instead of being there for my family. You think a person would learn from past experiences, but I did that several more times. In life, even in sobriety, or even in those times when I wasn't drinking, but not acting too sober. Best man at my wedding, I missed his funeral services altogether because woe is me. Instead of me manning up